Welcome to Sharing the Word. I'm your host, Dr. Driver.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Shalom. Today I will be talking about Proverbs chapter 6. Now chapter 6 of Proverbs is a powerful chapter. Proverbs a day, I preach on this subject. I always tell my church, every time I'm preaching, I said, you know, a proverb a day does keep the devil away. It's just packed with wisdom, insight. It's food for thought. It protects you from evil people. The word of God does all that, but Proverbs is very powerful. Solomon did a great job writing Proverbs, and the things that I learn every day that I read Proverbs, I at least read a chapter a day. You can go through like 31 chapters in a month. So a chapter a day, a Bible verse a day of Proverbs definitely will keep the devil away. Today I'm going to be talking about chapter 6 of Proverbs, and I'm going to break it in two sections. The first part of the section I want to cover deals with a wicked man, and then I'm going to talk about later on the things that God hates. Now, in the Bible, we're warned from Genesis all the way through Revelation about evil behavior. We are warned about the things that Satan does. Now, we know Satan masquerades as an angel of light, and his children are masquerade not only as angel of light, but angels of righteousness. They are dressed, you know, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. So we have to really be discerning on what it is to be a Christian and know when we are interacting with things that are evil, wicked, not of God. Amen. So in Proverbs 6, starting in chapter 6, looking at verse 12, it says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Now, just that one verse causes me to really stand still for a moment. Because when it says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Now, I was in the Navy, and I served many, many years in the military. So there were a lot of people who just had a vulgar tongue. And it says that a person who walks around and has a perverse mouth, perverse speech, that's evil. That's wicked. So what do you do? What do you do when someone that you work with, live with, or even have fellowship with, maybe because of church and or they're in your family, have a perverse mouth? See, we have to remember, Colossians talks about unwholesome talking, especially in chapter 3. We have to really set ourselves apart today, more than ever. I look around, it is so hard to tell who's a believer. Because people are actually walking and talking with perverse speech. They're walking and talking with hatred. Most people, you can't even go through a grocery line and give somebody a good smile and say, how you doing, without them giving you a very sour look or a scowl on their forehead. They're just not happy people. They're just collecting a paycheck. So to show Christ is very difficult today. But the Epistle of Peter tells us how to live. We have to be holy. We have to be blameless. We have to be ready to give a defense of the hope that's in us. But sometimes it is hard. So when Proverbs tells us a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth, he winks with his eyes, he shuffles with his feet. There are so many people today who are doing evil things, and what gives them away, what really gets them in trouble, is what they're saying. And then they're quick to take what they're saying and run with it, either by actions, by attitude, and so on. So what do we do? When you're around someone that has a perverse mouth, it's very perverse, it's vulgar, Do you stop them and say, hey, you're being offensive? In this cancel culture society, anything a righteous person says, they're already called out as being racist. A conservative is called out to be phobic of some kind. So we can get canceled because we say we believe in God. We can be canceled because we believe in the flag of the United States of America. And I'm looking at that going, wow, but nobody is calling out the ones that are speaking perverse or wicked or evil. And if we do, maybe they're afraid they're going to get canceled. So when the Bible says a worthless person, a wicked man, walks around with a perverse mouth, that means they discriminate. They actually say some evil things towards someone that's judging. That's wrong. So what do we do? What do we do when someone around us is constantly spewing hatred and untruths with their mouth? Bible is clear. You can walk away from it. You can never give a fool an audience to listen to what they're saying. Because if you do, you'll be trapped. So when the Bible goes into Proverbs about a wicked man, it also says, looking at verse 13, he winks with his eyes, he shuffles with his feet, he points with his finger. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. A proverb a day not only keeps the devil away, but keeps you away from people who are like this. The Christian church has lost a couple of things. Here's how I see the Christian church or Christians as a whole. We lost our nerve. We lost boldness. Paul always prayed, pray for me that I may have boldness to preach the word. When are we going to stand up and be bold for God? When are we going to say, that is sin? That is hatred. That's prejudice. When are we going to call out the hypocrisy that's not only in our church, but in our neighborhoods? My friends, it's not difficult to stand up for truth if you live in truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, John 14:6. So when you look at those that are around you and they wink, they point, they're perverse in their speech, out of the mouth, the heart does speak. Isn't that something that you can finally say, hey, dude, hey, man, hey, dear, hey, whomever, I don't have a name to give you, but you can stop them and say, enough is enough. That's not of God. Ask God through the Holy Spirit to give you the boldness and to give you the discernment on how to deal with things that are wicked and things that are good. I pray, Lord God, fill me with wisdom every day. Fill me with wisdom, boldness, discernment, and the knowledge of your word, Lord God. Because I'm going into this world and it's full of perverse, wicked people. We have to be ready. We have to put on the full armor of God and know that these kind of people out there, they exist. And here's the thing, my friends. They actually exist in your workplace. Some of them, sad but true, can exist in your own family. They could be your next door neighbor. They could be anywhere and everywhere, but you must put on the righteous robes of Christ. You must walk in the light as he's in the light. You must be ready to stand up and say, thus says the Lord, and not be afraid. Because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Now listen to me. This is where I go like this. Oh, when I hear somebody speak lies, I really want to say to that person, that's a lie. But then the Holy Spirit comes upon me and gives me insight and wisdom on how to deal with that person. I told my wife one day, we were having a Bible study, and we were talking about the wickedness that's in the world today. And I said, Christians are going to be falsely accused. They're going to be in that cancel culture because they're speaking truth. When accusations come at you, and it's a crowd or a mob of accusations, a lot of it can really be just nothing but smear campaigns or lies. To respond to lies puts you into a trap. Listen to me, this is important. Responding to lies puts you into their trap. Now you can say, but that, I gotta defend myself. No, the Holy Spirit will defend you. It says, never worry about what you're gonna say when you stand before man, like prince, kings, rulers, governments, and so on. At that hour, the Holy Spirit will give you something to say. So when I said to my wife in our Bible study, don't get trapped trying to defend yourself just because the accusations are coming at you by more than one or multiple people. God's going to defend you. But don't be afraid of it either. See, I like the stories how Jesus did it. False accusations were coming at him, and he was just standing there in front of Pilate and the high priest, and he didn't say a word until one question came at him. Are you the Son of God? You say that I am. Yes, I am. They tried to trap Jesus with lies and accusations. And they say, by what authority, Jesus, do you have this right to do these things? And Jesus looked at him. I just think Jesus is awesome. He's just cool. And he just looked at him and said, okay, let me ask you a question. Did John's baptism authority come from man or from God? They hung it up. They didn't know how to respond to it. And they go, I don't know. And he says, then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What's the message, my friends? Wickedness is out there. You have to set yourself apart from wickedness. That's called sanctification. So you have to set yourself to be so unique, to be in the light, as he's in the light. You got to wear the robe of righteousness, but you have to learn how to respond to wickedness that is there. And if you don't, you're going to fall into their trap. So when the Bible talks about in Proverbs 6 that the wicked man has perversity in his heart, he devises evil continually, he sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken and without remedy. So what I'm learning from this is no matter how many times you deal with people, the way to determine if they are children of God is by their love, yes, but what they're saying out of their mouth. A wicked person who's perverse, their heart, it's from their heart. They're going to speak it. That's discernment. You should know that and then be able to say to yourself, I'm not going to hang around this. I can either be loud enough by walking away, or I can be loud enough and say, you just offended me by using the Lord's name in vain. A lot of times people don't even think about what they're really saying. They're just saying it. You can get trapped into that by debating with them. By debating with somebody that's a fool, you become foolish. The Bible is so replete with how to deal with wickedness and evil in your environment that you really have to be in the light. You have to walk in the Spirit of God and know that He will give you the words to say, the discernment on how to act and react to those things that are coming at you. Just read the Gospels and see how Jesus did it. One of the things I loved about how the religious leaders use people to try to trap Jesus. And one of the stories in the Gospels is when they said, Rabbi, we have a question for you. Is it right to pay taxes? Now you got to think about that. Is it right to pay taxes? A wicked person is already deceiving other people about why taxes are bad all over, even in our generation. Now, personally speaking, taxes are tax. I understand the benefit of taxes, why the government does it. Pays for social programs, pays for, helps the roads with infrastructure. I see the benefits of taxes. So I'm not going to get into my political persuasion or defense of what I believe taxes are for and why even go there. That's my point. Not everything's going to be appropriate to respond to. But let me continue with the story. So they said, Jesus, is it okay, is it right for us, meaning everybody, to pay taxes? Jesus saw through their duplicity. He saw through their wickedness, because that's all they do. They speak it, they divide, it's in their heart. And so being discerning as Jesus is, he saw it and he said, let me have a coin. Okay, wow, give me a coin. And he takes that coin and he says, whose inscription is this? And they said, Caesar. Wow, Okay, you said, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. I mean, who could respond to that? Who could refute that? That's my point. We have to remember that perverse, wicked people are out there. You get trapped by defending and speaking what they're doing, you're gonna fall. The Holy Spirit will give you things to say, insight, discernment. So when it says that an evil person walks around with, say, evil or malice in their heart to trap you, to divide you, just know that. But then the Bible is so powerful when it says, suddenly he shall be broken and without remedy. Oh, my friends, I'm really saddened and maybe I would say disappointed that I see a lot of Christians get trapped so easily, and then boom, they fall. And then I wonder, what can we do to help them understand that the Word of God is so clear that all we have to do is walk in the light, walk by faith, and not be afraid. If we can just stay focused and walk straight, the enemy's going to struggle trying to trip you up because he knows you know the Word. He knows that you're in the Spirit too. He doesn't take days off. He'll still try to trip you. He waits for an opportune time to come at you. But you have to be prepared. Putting on the full armor of God is everything. Now, before we take a break, I want to prepare you why I, using myself, cannot deal with Christians, I'm going to be careful here, Christians who are double-minded. Because even though the Christian person can be double-minded, not every Christian is double-minded. Why am I saying this? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. And if I'm around a Christian who's afraid all the time, who doesn't know what to do, how to confront, he's vacillating left and right. I can't be around that either. I want to have fellowship with a Christian, but they should have the authority of the Word of God to govern them on what they say and do. So I really have a hard time being around Christians that are double-minded. Maybe you do too. Be around people that are full of faith. Be around people who are not afraid. If you can do that, you're going to have victory over a lot of things.
Get started on your journey of learning and understanding how to be a practical, scripture-focused Christian. Enjoy a variety of messages of several lengths across many delivery systems online, from podcasts to TV. We also offer Christian classic movies on Galilee TV and our YouTube channel to offer biblical-centered entertainment for the whole family. Enjoy our popular Bible programs like Bible Minute, Sharing the Word, Take 5, and Sermon Classics. Our thought-provoking and inspirational programs are available on Galilee TV, The Now Network, our YouTube channel, and over 26 internet podcast channels like Pandora, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Breaker, Google Podcast, Apple, and more.
Praise the Lord. Thank you again for, I was laughing with one of my camera people here. It's interesting when I can sit here in front of a camera and preach the Word of God. I can stand in front of a church and preach the Word of God. And the only reason why I'm able to do that is because of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit anoints you to speak the Word, you just speak the Word. You're not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm just not, because I know God is with me. God before you, who can be against you? Amen. So in reading Proverbs 6, we talked about the wicked person. So I'm going to read in continuity what this is saying again. Okay, starting in verse 12. It says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. I mean, I can tell you, there's a lot of times when I even watch TV, or I'm just around certain people at a restaurant, I can hear people around taking the Lord's name in vain. How many times have you heard that? And I have been even in my military career, even at church conventions, sometimes people take in the Lord's name in vain and they don't even realize it. My friends, I'm allergic to it. I react and make a sound. I had one person take the Lord's name in vain. I was enlisted at the time. I became an officer, but I was enlisted at the time. And I had one of my, let's say, officers take the Lord's name in vain. And I just stopped where I was at, looked right at him, and confronted him. Now, the way I confronted him was very bold, but I could have been, say, court-martialed for threatening. I didn't threaten him like, I'm going to beat you up. But by my confrontation about, don't you ever take the name of the Lord there, like this, in vain, it really offended me. And so he called me into his office, said, you know, I didn't appreciate the way you did that because there's a lot of people that was disrespect, that's insubordination, blah, blah. He did all that. But he said, thank you. And he said, I was raised in a religious home. And yes, that was bad. So I learned something from that. I was a young Christian and, you know, a young man at the time. Then it happened again as I got older. And the person almost did the same thing in their response because they don't realize they're saying it. But then are those who do it deliberately. My friends, they're reaping what they're sowing. They're going to reap what they sow. They're going to be punished. Because that in the commandment is you don't blaspheme and take the Lord's name in vain. You just don't do that. So to me, having the zeal of the Lord is everything. So when a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth, he winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers, perversity is in his heart, he devises evil continually, and he sows discord. Sounds like the devil to me. Sounds like the devil to me. Because the Bible calls it a wicked person. You have a choice to make. Here's the choice. You can confront it, especially if it's a family member, co-worker, a colleague. You can confront it. Or you can be silent about it and be, as some people say, accomplice to it. Be subject to the same judgment that can come upon them could come upon you because you did not say anything about it. And you're thinking, oh, I got to show grace. No, you don't. Oh, I got to show love. No, you don't. If they take the Lord's name in vain, I would hope you would say something. Because obviously you would say something if they took your mother's name in vain or your spouse's name in vain or your child's name in vain. Oh, come on. We would defend that, okay? So to me, knowing that people are out there doing that, I'm going to confront it when I need to, but the Lord's going to give me the discernment, the wisdom, and the boldness to know how to do it. Amen? It also says that therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken and without remedy. My friends, we live in deleterious times. We just live in deleterious times, and the only way to really preserve yourself, protect yourself, is to walk in holiness, walk in the righteousness of Christ, and be able to discern who is of God and who isn't. I don't put myself in positions to confront every person that's around me. However, if I'm at a function, party, or whatever it is, and people start taking the Lord's name in vain, I'm either going to confront, and then I'm going to leave. Because I can't be around that. That's just me. I've done it. I lived it. That's just who I am. You have to discern how to do that. Okay? Number two, I'm not going to put myself in a position where there's a lot of things that are going on that someone would really question if you're a believer because you're in that environment. So again, we have choices to make when we're living in deleterious times, wicked, evil times. That's what we're talking about. And a wicked person is part of that process. If you're around somebody who's wicked and all they do is speak volumes of discord and dissension and evil and things of that nature, you have to start looking at yourself and wondering why you're around that. Why you're around a person who always gossips? Why are you always around a person that talks bad about every group of people in our society? It doesn't matter what the political position is. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, a wage earner versus a salary. It doesn't matter. They're always pointing fingers and judging and blaming everybody. That's wickedness coming out of their mouth. And you're listening to it. Not of God. So I'm learning in these last days how to separate myself from things that are not of God or things that are not holy. You need to start thinking that way, because if you don't, you're going to get stained or corrupted yourself. And then it says to the wicked man, it says, therefore his calamity shall come suddenly he shall be broken and without remedy. And that's him and his accomplices. That's him and his accomplices. So maybe we start looking at who we're going to hang with, who we're going to fellowship with. And in my next message, I will discuss the things that God really hates, things that are an abomination to him. And one of the rules I try to live by, if God hates it, I hate it. God is love, but he does hate sin. Now, when you read the Bible, it looks like he hates people that do it. But we all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And when those books are open, accounting for everything you said and done and even thought, then he opens up another book. And that book will have your name in it, hopefully. If it's not, it's called the Book of Life. And if your name's not in it, he just says, poop, depart from me. The wheat from the chaff. The sheep from the goat. Good versus evil. My friends, we have to make decisions now in our life, because everything we hang with, we can become. I'd rather hang with the wise to be wise, or I can hang with a fool and be foolish. I can hang with wicked people, and really, I'm wicked, because I'm around that and I don't say nothing. I don't wear my white uniforms in the military, my naval uniform, and then go, you know, I don't know, wrestling in the mud. I just don't do that. I don't go riding a dirt bike wearing a white uniform. So we know those kind of things. So it's the same thing as a Christian. I want to be found spotless and blameless upon the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way I can make it in this world. May God be with you. May God bless you and give you boldness and discernment. In Jesus' name, join me again in part 2 of this message.